Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Text number 20. Nasike Nirabhidyetam Doduyati Navasvati Katra Vayu Ganda Vana Prana Nasi Tigrikshita Nasike Nirabhidyetam
Nasike Nirabhidyetam
Doduyati Nabhasvati
Doduyati Nabhasvati
Chatravayur Gandhavaho
Chatravayur Gandhavaho
Krano Nasi Jigrikshita
Nasi Jigrikshita
Nasike,
Nasike,
in the nostrils.
Nirabhidyetam,
being developed.
Doduyati,
rapidly blowing.
Navasthiti,
air respiration.
Tatra,
thereupon.
Vayu,
air.
Gandhavana,
smelling odor.
Prana,
sense of smell.
Nasi,
in the nose.
Digrikshita,
desiring to smell odors.
To
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, when the Supreme Purusha desired to smell odors, nostrils and respiration were generated. The nasal instrument and odors came into existence, and the controlling deity of air carrying smell also became manifested. Purport. The nasal instrument odor and the controlling deity air, smelling, etc., all became manifested simultaneously when the Lord desired to smell. The Vedic mantras confirm the statement in the Upanishads, statement that everything is first desired by the Supreme Lord before the subordinate living entity can act upon it. The living entity can see only when the Lord sees, the living entity can smell when the Lord smells, and so on. The idea is that the living entity cannot do anything independently. He can simply think of doing something independently. He cannot act independently. This independence in thinking is there by the grace of the Lord, as the thinking can be given shape by the grace of the Lord, and therefore the common saying is that man proposes and God disposes. The whole explanation is on the subject of the absolute dependence of living entities and the absolute independence of the Supreme Lord. Thus intelligent persons claiming to be on an equal level with God must first prove themselves to be absolute and independent, and then they must substantiate their claim to being one with God. Nasike nirabhidyetam doduyati navasvati Tatra vayur gandhavaho grano nasi jigikshitaha. Thereafter, when the Supreme Purusha desired to smell odors, the nostrils and respiration were generated, the nasal instrument and odors came into existence, and the controlling deity of air carrying smell also became manifested. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vistaya Vidaya Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamne Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Vijayana Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Siddharna. This all sounds very esoteric, Bhakti Steve, that the living entity is, or the Supreme Lord is desiring to smell odors. And then he's doing all kinds of mystical things like manifesting nostrils. And so one may actually wonder, what does this have to do with mit? I mean, it's nice when Krishna wants to smell something, he mystically manifests nostrils and air and smell and all these other things. Here in the Purport, Prabhupada is explaining that actually Krishna doesn't really desire to smell anything. That We desire to smell something in the material world, and therefore Krishna is manifesting these different things for us. In other words, we are ourselves the spiritual souls because we desire to be here in the material world and to have material experience. Therefore, when Krishna senses that desire, he manifests these things for us. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has elaborately explained this, that everything goes from subtle to gross. Generally, we think of things from gross to subtle, but actually it goes from subtle to gross. And the subtle, most subtle thing in the material world is the living entity desiring. Of course, the living entity's desire is not also independent. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, nādate kasuchit pāpam, nā pāpam sukritim vibhum, ajñāne nāvritam jñānam, tena muyanti jantava. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. The embodied soul, however, is bewildered because of the ignorance which covers his real knowledge. The basic principle is that we're in ignorance, avidya. So that we first of all have to understand that that's our problem. Generally in the material world, there are so many ideas, what is our problem? For instance, the yogis, they think their problem is they're not controlling the material world enough. And the jnanis, they think their problem is that they're suffering in the material world. And others may have other varieties of what they think is what they think are problems. Subtly, they think, well, we're not getting along with each other. Therefore, we have to be friends. We have to provide for the poor. We have to correct the problems in the material world, going under the name of philanthropy, that so many people are starving in this world and we have to feed them and then the world will be happier, or that there's so much air pollution, if we can simply clean up the air then we can breathe better and think better and then we can love each other better because the air won't be so polluted. There are many varieties of what people think of problems, and they have different movements to solve these problems. But the real problem is that we're in ignorance. And that ignorance doesn't mean ignorance of some technical feature of the material world, how to arrange it better. The ignorance is that we're misidentifying ourselves with this body, grossly, and subtly the mind. The real solution to our problem, therefore, if we recognize this, is how to get out of the ignorance, how to get out of this bodily conception of life, and attain to the true spiritual conception of life of identifying ourselves with Krishna. Now, people who are into the material conception of life will not appreciate this particular point of view that we're trying to solve the problem of our relationship with Krishna. They'll say, well, that's all right, because, you know, generally spiritualists are escapists anyhow, and they can't really confront the miseries of life. And they're not very practical. They can't really do things that are practical. That's why they join the Hare Krishna movement, because they're failures, material failures. So, you know, they got to do something. So let them waste their time trying to reestablish their relationship with some god. Well, the real practical people who are really doing something for the benefit of humanity and other living entities, they'll try to solve the problems of material existence. Therefore, the Hare Krishna movement is not considered to be very valuable in modern society. People can't see what is the value. They're not contributing to the society. They're parasites. They go out and they sell their books, which no one can understand. And even if you ask them questions, they seem confused about the whole thing themselves. But somehow or another, they're very expert in getting money and utilizing it, you know, for their... You know, they're deity, they're stone statues in the temple, and most of it goes to, you know, who knows where it goes. They say it goes to their god Krishna. And their gurus. So therefore they can't appreciate what we're doing. Because they have no conception that there is another level of existence from which everything is coming from. They think that everything is coming from our desire. That because we have some desire and we're following it out, therefore everything is being manifested. Krishna says this is called kama ahaituka. What is that desire? I mean, even Freud will, we don't disagree with what they say. Freud says the same thing as Krishna says. Krishna says ahaituka. Kama ahaituka. Krishna says they think everything is coming from lust. And Freud says everything is coming from lust, from sex desire. And in the material world, it appears that everything is coming from sex desire. That people are acting according to sex desire. Why are they building these big skyscrapers? Prabhupada said it's to impress the women. Why are they doing these big malls? What is the... It's just, ultimately, it's just the same thing. Punat punas charvita charvanana. Just to show the women how powerful the men are. How they provide them everything they desire. And they think this is quite practical. But what they don't realize is that even their skyscrapers, even their malls with... If you go to America, you'll find that there are malls there with thousands of shops. You've seen that Mother Jai Bhadra? You walk into the mall, it's like, it's a city. It's not only one floor with hundreds and hundreds of shops, it's multi-floors. With so many different shops, and each one is like, you can get lost in. And most of the shops are all clothes and shoe shops. And handbags for the ladies. They're all decorations for a dead body. And people are spending so many billions of dollars on these things, on lipstick. The cosmetic. And not only that, where my mother lives, she lives in Las Vegas. So even for me, I mean, I've seen different types of science fiction movies when I was younger. But this is actually like a science fiction movie, Las Vegas. It's almost inconceivable, even from America's standards. I mean, I can't even now I can't even understand how it actually goes on. There are hundreds, literally hundreds of casinos. In each casino is like 10 or 20 times the size of Rotterdish. Inconceivably large. They can fit 50 to 100,000 people in each one of them. Because they get tens of millions of visitors a year. I don't know, they get close to probably 10 million visitors a year. And the whole thing is dedicated to simply breaking the four regular principles. Huge arrangement for them. I mean, I haven't been inside of one yet, but my parents tell me that inside they have aquariums and zoos and all kinds of things. So this is the... In other words, people are thinking that these things will actually solve the problems of life. This will make people happier, and that what we're doing is simply wasting time. But that what they don't realize is that even to manifest these big, big endeavors for material enjoyment, it also requires the mercy of God. One devotee was telling me that when he was in, I guess it was Poland, he was actually on the wall, there was an inscription by the communists. That story the Prabhupada says, that when the communists took over the European countries, then the Eastern European countries, and they came and they told the peasants there, my dear communist friend, my dear peasants, who are you worshiping? So they say, we worship God. So they say, well, what does God give you? So the peasants say, God gives us bread. So the communists said, all right, go to your church and pray to your God for bread. So they all went to church and they all prayed, dear God, please give us our daily bread. And they came back to the communists and they said, my dear peasants, did you get any bread? And they looked around and said, no, we didn't get any bread. So then the communists said, all right, now pray to us for bread. So they said, our dear communist friends, please give us our daily bread. And so the communists, they had truckloads of bread, and they all brought the bread and distributed it to the peasants. And so the communists inquired, So, my dear peasants, who's better? Your God is better, or we are better? So they said, oh, dear communist friends, you are better because you're actually giving us our daily bread. So then the communist, then Prabhupada said, if I was there, I would have said, you rascals, where did you get the bread from? So in the same way, we may think that the material world is being manifested by material desire. But material desire is not sufficient, nor is our endeavor sufficient. Above material desire is intelligence. And above intelligence is the soul. And above the soul is the super soul. That just by our desire, the energies of material creation did not manifest themselves. And just by our desire, they don't arrange themselves in a certain way. And just by our desire, nothing happens. We can sit here and desire. We can all sit here and crowd around, hold our hands and desire. And nothing's going to happen. Ultimately, it depends upon God. In other words, according to our philosophy, that the same person who's moving the sun in their orbits, who's created all the different species of life, we propose and God disposes. He's the one who's ultimately controlling. He senses our desire, and then he manifests these things, just like it says here, when he desires. Of course, we know that God is self-sufficient. He doesn't desire anything material, but he's neutral in the material world. He desires when he senses the living entity's desire. But without the Lord's desire, nothing happens. Svabhavaki jnana bala kriya cha. Tatasya karyam karanam chavidite. Tatasamascha vyadikas chajvishate. Parashya bhaktir vividaiva shruyate. Parashya shaktir vividaiva shruyate. Svabhavaki jnana bala kriya cha. Krishna has so many different energies, and when he desires, they all arrange themselves. That's the meaning of God. So Krishna senses our desire just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it, and then he orders the material nature to arrange itself in order to fulfill our desire according to what we deserve. Now, in the material world, certainly the demons, they're just desiring ultimately kama, sense gratification. In this material world, there is, especially in Kali Yuga, the two prominent aspects of life are art and kama. Economic development, making money. I don't think anyone will disagree that people nowadays are all aloof from money. Can anyone say that? People are all renounced. They don't really care about money. They never look. They don't care about the stock market or the price of gold or the price of the Belgian franc against the dollar. No one ever inquires about these things. They don't care about what their salary is. They're only interested in God consciousness. How many people on the street do you meet like that? People are just absorbed in where to get money. And why do they want to get money? Not to build churches anymore. Most people want to get money to build their house into it, you know, to make that the center of their lives, the center of their attention, to make their family, to make their nation, but not God consciousness. That's not very common. Therefore, mostly people are not interested in dharma, religiosity, nor do they believe in moksha, liberation. They simply think the perfection of our life will be to make money and spend it on sense gratification. And therefore Krishna, he doesn't give them dharma, he doesn't give them religiosity, he doesn't give them intelligence to understand spiritual things. He doesn't give them moksha, he simply gives them the facilities to increase their so-called economic development and sense gratification. Of course, it's not true economic development. If someone got lost in one of those casinos, although it's the size of a city, after some time, because they only have a limited facility for food, they'd all die. Because it's not based, people are not utilizing their energy for simply getting the necessities of life, for higher consciousness, they're utilizing their energy to get the necessities of life, and then the rest of it they're spending on sense gratification. In other words, our program is not to stop getting the necessities of life, We have to desire that as long as we're conditioned in the material world. But life is not meant simply for getting the facilities of material life to enjoy them for sense gratification. We should get the minimum facility and then try to cultivate God consciousness. But the demons, they can't understand that. Therefore, God's giving them so much facility, and they're utilizing to build these big casinos, malls, skyscrapers, fast cars, computers, everything, except for developing love of God. Some people, obviously, they're interested in God consciousness, but that proportion, you know, if it's increasing, it's not increasing due to materialistic education and propaganda. Therefore, one has to understand that our desire is very important. Not that it doesn't really matter what I think, it doesn't really matter what I desire. Actually, what I think may not be important to anyone else, but it's important to where I'm going next. No one else may, just like we may go out and preach on the street, and everyone may say, "You're a fool. What are you wasting your time? Get a job. Grow up." Don't go around harassing people all the time. Try and become a little bit more mature. So people may think like that, you know, you're out of fashion, you know, trying to preach to people, you know. We're already enlightened. We know that what you're doing is a waste of time. But we tolerate you because we're good-hearted people. Therefore, we tolerate, you know, people like you going around harassing people all the time. But watch out, our tolerance is running low. So people may think like that, but we shouldn't think like that. In other words, they may not like how we think, but that's just because they don't like the way we think, that we should change the way we think, because the way we think will determine where we're going next. And if we change our way of thinking to the way we're thinking, we'll go where they're going, which is probably to the lower species of life. So we may feel good about that. You know, we were in harmony with everyone. We made them feel good. And now we're a dog and we're all in the same family. We're all little puppies in the same litter. Now we can learn how to cooperate with each other. We're eating out of the same bowl. Isn't it sweet? But this is not the purpose of human life. Therefore, Prabhupada had a different program. Krishna has a different program. Lord Chaitanya had a different program. Not that we reject modern society. As Prabhupada says, we don't reject the typewriters, we don't reject the computers or the jet planes, but we desire to utilize them in Krishna's service. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchite. Krishna has to be in the center. And Krishna being in the center doesn't mean simply on an intellectual level, it has to mean on a practical level. How not? Yes, we agree with Krishna and we'll all, you know. No. We actually have to do something practically for Krishna. Not that we sit around and we speculate. No. Prabhupada said that one has to be trained. Right. Prabhupada says here that it's on the strength of Krishna consciousness that we can control the mind and senses. The question is how to control our desire. So first of all, we have to understand, most of the time it's not our desire. In fact, it's not our desire. But it is our desire simultaneously. So what does that mean? It means that we're not independent. Prema Siddhinanda would tell us his father, he'd always, or just in general, just to give an example, that people in Holland, for instance, they pride themselves that we're independent thinkers. So I guess there was some discussion between yourself and your father about independent thinking, and is that right? And that, you know, more or less he indicated that why don't you think for yourself? So Prema Siddhinanda, in his usual direct way to his father, said, "Well, how do you think for yourself?" He said, "You just watch television all day and they tell you what to think." So who's actually thinking for themselves? The little child when they're born, they start thinking for themselves. No, they're taught how to think. You know, the only thing they're doing themselves is going goo 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 goo, and then after that, they're being trained up how to talk, how to walk, how to think, how to do everything. And who's the main instrument for training people in the mature world nowadays? It's the television set. As one devotee once said, it's the one-eyed guru. You sit before the television, they tell you how to think, how to speak, how to work, how to do everything. But that is not the... So we're being conditioned by the material energy what to desire. Principally by hearing the glories of something. Everything's being glorified in this material world for the purpose of trying to sell it. Economic development and promising sense gratification. Why do people spend tens of thousands of dollars sometimes on a car? What does it do? What is the big charge you get when you sit in the seat? What kind of ecstasy do you feel? But it's advertised. You know, this will actually make your material life better. When you speed past in your car, in your new fancy car, all the ladies will think, wow, I wish I was in there too. That this is a show of power, the show of opulence, the show of control of the material energy. So it's frankly speaking, can be analyzed as another symbol for material sense gratification. And so many things can be analyzed in the same way. And they're all being advertised, buy this, buy that, and then you'll get what you want. What you want, what we tell you that you want, namely sense gratification. Put the underarm odorant underneath your arm, and when the ladies get near you, they'll all surrender. They'll think, oh, sir, there's something attractive about you. I can't express it in words. People think, yes, this is the power, the magic formula, the Shakti I've been looking for. Something that is missing from my life. So on that basis, everything is being sold. But people are not aware, there's another side to the story. There's another possibility of desiring that is spiritual desire. Of course, because people don't know anything about, most people don't know about spiritual. Maybe more people now that Srila Prabhupada's books have been distributed and the Hare Krishna mantra has been resounded in different cities. But they don't know that much about spiritual in general. Therefore, they don't know that there's such a thing as spiritual desire. So when they see us living in a castle, they think, oh yes, that's where my donation for the book went to. So they can live in a castle. And the head person, he's simply standing there playing a flute all day long. Just telling everyone, go out and collect more from it. And they walk into the temple every day and they just throw themselves before that Krishna and his girlfriends. And say, yes, we'll go out and do more for you. We haven't done enough. So they don't understand that there's such a thing as that we're spiritual souls. And that we can desire spiritually. There's the spiritual world with spiritual activities and spiritual desires and spiritual... Everything is spiritual. They don't understand either that above the senses, this is the mind, and above the mind is the intelligence. And above the intelligence is the soul, and above the soul is the super soul. And if the soul connects himself with the super soul, then he gets spiritual energy, spiritual strength, a higher taste by which one can avoid sense gratification. That the living entity is pleasure seeking. Either the living entity, the soul, will seek pleasure in the material energy, or the soul will seek pleasure in the spiritual energy. So the proof that there's such a thing as spiritual energy is that these devotees can be happy simply in the spiritual energy, without unrestricted sense gratification. So when people see the devotees smiling on the street, dancing and chanting, they think either they're complete fools, that's the group of people who must have joined this, simply crazy people, complete fools, dropped out of the material, normal society, and since they
only they have, you know, a small amount of brain, whatever they do, they dance, they laugh about it, because they have no seriousness. Or they're taking drugs. They must be taking drugs. Otherwise, how can people be dancing and chanting on the street? The third alternative is that it has some, it's a spiritual vibration, it makes one happy. That's not possible for most people's minds. It's not even conceivable. Or within the realm of possibility that there's such a thing that people can be happy spiritually. The difference, either they're fools or they're drugged. But this movement is meant to explain to people that there's such a thing as getting a higher taste. That is, when the soul agrees to utilize his mind and senses in the service of Krishna, then he connects with Krishna. And connecting with Krishna, he becomes blissful in Krishna consciousness. And when he doesn't utilize his senses and mind in the service of Krishna, then his connection with Krishna is diminished, and he becomes further and further away from Krishna. As soon as the senses or the mind are used for sense gratification, then the intelligence is dragged away, is carried away, just like a boat on the wind is swept away by a strong wind. So even when the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away the man's intelligence or woman's intelligence. So the intelligence is carried away as soon as we're involved in the activities of gross or subtle sense gratification. But if we utilize the senses and mind in the service of Krishna, then by taking shelter of Krishna, then the intelligence and the soul become stronger and become more and more desirous of becoming Krishna conscious due to the higher taste. So Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. This is one of the beginning understandings of sadhana bhakti. What to speak of the higher things that, you know, it's the only means to attract Krishna on the prema platform or gives one unlimited bliss. No, we have to understand, first of all, that Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. And part of the all auspiciousness is that one can actually get a higher taste. And what is the proof? The Prabhupada said that even one goes to college, for instance, and gets an academic degree, but still one winds up being a sex monger and absorbed in intoxication and all kinds of degraded activities. Or even one goes to yoga school, sits and meditates, at the end one goes out and smokes, you know, a cigarette. But a devotee, even without university education, can be an exemplary person, can have all good qualities, and refrain from all these sinful activities. Of course, most people will think, well, what's the harm with, you know, smoking a few cigarettes? What's the harm of chasing women? I mean, that's life. That is life. That's what life is meant for. You know, and in between time to make chasing women or men a little bit more palatable, you take a little intoxication. And even if someone doesn't look very attractive, you take enough intoxication, they suddenly become attractive. So what's the harm in these things? So that's a materialistic point of view. We don't expect everyone's going to agree with these things. But the devotees at least are supposed to agree, understand these things. So we have to be convinced, theoretically and practically, that actually one can actually become purified by connecting oneself with Krishna. That we're simply not chanting, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just because the big boss told us to do so. And if we don't do it enough times a day, they won't feed us. And he told us to do it just to drug our minds, to make it dull. Repeat the same thing over and over again so we can't think. So the mind becomes dull. And then... But if that's what we're thinking, yeah, shnik, shnik, ram, ram, day, day. My mind's becoming dull. I can't think. I'm not thinking of running after women and intoxication. It's dull. It's keeping me under the control so I can go out and collect. Of course, nowadays, most of us don't collect. Therefore, the process is not working. But we have to understand, actually, what is the actual purpose of chanting Hare Krishna? What is the purpose of utilizing things in Krishna's service? So, of course, this is a long... I have many, many notes here. But Prabhupada writes that actually we want to keep our enthusiasm and the nectar of devotion, nectar of instruction. Enthusiasm is considered quite important. Enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness, not enthusiasm for material consciousness. So Prabhupada writes that enthusiasm means endeavor executed with intelligence and Krishna consciousness. So endeavor means endeavor with this body. And executed with intelligence means some activity which will actually bring us to the platform of becoming conscious of Krishna. That will produce enthusiasm. If we think I'm going to become enthusiastic by making money. People are enthusiastic to make money, but look at how enthusiastic they are when they get older and they have money. See how actually what kind of enthusiasm they have. People have enthusiasm for sense gratification. But look at our parents. They still may be enthusiastic for sense gratification, but what kind of enthusiasm is that? Is that the enthusiasm we want to develop? Or are we trying to look at Prabhupada, for instance, what kind of enthusiasm he had? And what is the difference in the enthusiasm? I mean, people have been in the material world, we've all been here since time immemorial, so we must be enthusiastic about something. But there's a different quality of enthusiasm. One is called chapala sukha. We're enthusiastic about sense gratification for some time, but then after a while we get burnt out. They say burnt out, because we usually utilize that in book distribution. Yes, they went out in book distribution, they got burnt out. We utilize that for preaching. As if preaching, you know, be careful, don't preach too much, you'll get burnt out. Because maybe it's the way we preach or the way we do things that we get burnt out. But actually it's the karmis who are burnt out. When you go out in the street, you look at the people, they look pretty burnt out, most of them. Except for the young ones who have some brains left. Those are the people who usually stop and take our books, or at least, you know, because they're not burnt out. Otherwise, you go to Holland, you know, who would not say that the drug addicts and the prostitutes and the people that are after the drug addicts and the prostitutes, that they're not burnt out. It's obvious that preaching did burn them out. Something else must have burnt them out. So how to get this enthusiasm? So this is Prabhupada's process. This is why he created this movement. It's so we can get spiritual enthusiasm. We can endeavor in such a way, by utilizing our intelligence, we can actually connect with Krishna and actually become conscious of Krishna and become actually blissful. Ananda Buddhivardhana. So this is what Prabhupada wanted practically, that this movement have a practical process for them. So Prabhupada writes, for instance, something about the devotees were writing to him because they were burnt out. So what was Prabhupada's understanding why they were burnt out? So this is Prabhupada. Why Krishna consciousness movement? We have number three. Interesting. Three, two. This is one, two. This is one. I didn't bring the paper. Anyhow, I'll have to say it by my memory. Prabhupada is writing, well, here it says, otherwise, why so many letters of problems are coming dissatisfied? This is not a very good sign. Unfortunately, I don't have number two, which begins the. So Prabhupada says, the whole problem is that they're not following the regular principles. That I can detect. Without this, enthusiasm will be lacking, even mechanically following, and if one gets gradually understanding from the class, they'll come to the point of spontaneous enthusiasm. This spontaneous, loving devotional service is not so easy matter. But if one simply sticks strictly to the rules and regulations, like rising early, chanting 16 rounds, chanting Gayatri, keeping always clean, then his enthusiasm will grow more and more, and if there's also patience and determination, one day he will come to the platform of spontaneous devotion. then his life will be perfect. All this I've told you in the Nectar of Devotion. So I do not think the leaders themselves are following, nor are they seeing others are following strictly. That must be rectified at once. He said to remain independent. That's all right. But the president and other officers must themselves follow and see the others are following regular principles carefully and giving them good instructions so they may understand nicely why this tapasya is necessary. And GBC and sannyasis will travel and see the officers are doing this. And if they observe anything lowering of the standard, they must reform and advise. Or if there's some discrepancy, I shall remove it. So this is not a class criticizing the management, by the way. This is just to remind us that this is this process. Of course, our process currently in our society, in my opinion, is somewhat incomplete. There's can be emphasis upon the morning program, but that's not the whole part of the day. Of course, here in Radhadesha, it's kind of unique because of the tour program. There's a great opportunity to be engaged in preaching here at Radhadesha to so many people who are coming here by the inconceivable arrangement of Radha Gopinath and others, like Lalita Vishaka and Lord Jagannath Vadbalade and Srimati Subhadra Devi and Gorni Thai and a few of the acharyas and the devotees who are also cooperating. You know, so many people are coming to Radhadesha and there's such an opportunity here to tell them about Krishna. Therefore, of course, the more we use our intelligence to utilize this unlimited opportunity, just like Ramananda Roy, who has an idea of creating dhyaramas and, you know, creating more and more preaching here, then that the preaching can be expanded even more. And the bottom line is with everything is, you know, how many books are people actually purchasing to find out more about what we're doing, how much they're actually applying these things within their lives, like chanting Hare Krishna or, you know, other things, or things that may even lead to that, like becoming vegetarians, how much they're appreciating actually what we're doing and applying it. Of course, just by coming here, giving a donation, that in itself is an appreciation. That will benefit them. And they'll get some preaching. But we also have to become spiritually strong so that people come here and not see, you know, something other than devotees. They'll actually see happy, fixed up devotees who are in Krishna consciousness, who are trying their best to do benefit for humanity by giving them the process that will actually save them and bring them back to the spiritual world, save them from becoming degraded into the lower species of life. So my point, Prabhupada says, not my point, Prabhupada's point, is that the regular principles must be followed by everyone, otherwise their enthusiasm dwindles and they again think of sex and become restless. And so many problems are there. There is some symptom of missing the point. So we feel our sex desire is increasing, because any normal, healthy person who lives in a conditioned soul has sex desire. Then we have to understand what is the solution? You know, to run after the opposite sex, now that my sex desire is increasing. No, the solution, according to Prabhupada, if we want to properly utilize our sex desire and not increase it unlimitedly, but to utilize our energies in the service of Krishna, is that we have to follow the program. As soon as we stop following the program, as soon as we let our minds wander anywhere to any subject, thinking, well, you know, everyone needs a little enjoyment once in a while. As soon as we stop trying to control our mind, then our mind will control us. And it'll simply increase more and more and more our material desire. And then one day, you know, we'll think, there's no such thing as spiritual. It was all an imagination. There was no spiritual life. I was a victim. They were trying to control me. I gave the best years of my life to this heart, to those deities, and they don't even exist. Now I had to start the real life, you know. Gratify my senses. I've lost so much valuable time. Don't worry, sir. Krishna will give you a lot of time to spend gratifying your senses. There are so many species of life to do it. So Prabhupada said, the point is to be engaged in doing something for Krishna. Never mind what is that job, But being so engaged in doing something very satisfying to the devotee, that he remains always enthusiastic. He will automatically follow the regular principles because they are part of his occupational duty. By applying them practically as his occupational duty, he realizes the happy result of regular principles. Because that everything, Prabhupada explains more in the Nectar of Devotion. That means everything in the Sankirtan movement. Not that, wow, this is great, I can do whatever I want. No, it means everything dovetailed in the Sankirtan movement. And then, the regular principles, if we become a little sensitive, we'll see, the closer I follow the principles, the better everything comes out. In my relationships, in my ability to follow, in my happiness, in my connection with Krishna, everything becomes better the closer I follow the principles. The more I understand, the more I apply, then everything becomes nicer. But I remember, just to give a practical example, I remember when they previously, they used to, anyhow, I don't know if it's such a good example. It's always better to think of a mundane example, otherwise it's too close to our, as soon as you utilize an example amongst the devotees and misunderstood. But anyhow, just theoretically, there was one zone where it was said that all the leaders were cooperating very nicely, they had very nice relationships with each other. But then when there was some problem in that particular leaders, but the devotees themselves were, when there was some problems with the main leader, which was all based upon, everyone's trying to figure out which zone is this. But when there was some problem with the main leader, and therefore the sense gratification or the facilities or the relationship between the leaders kind of broke down, therefore their nice relationships also diminished. And most of those leaders left. So all the so nice relationships, the loving relationships, because they weren't based upon, you know, actually following, coming to class, hearing class, coming, waking up early, chanting Hare Krishna. Because they weren't based upon Krishna being the center, they were based upon some material concept. As soon as the material concept was destroyed or negated, then their nice relationships also disappeared. And therefore they lost their enthusiasm and they went back to the material world. Many of them, not all of them. So we have to make our basis of our existence upon Krishna in a practical way. And if we do that, then we'll have real relationships, real loving exchanges, real direction in life. And we should actually become more and more happy in Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Thinking sound. Well, different people think in different ways. For instance, according to Ayurveda, Ayurveda means just practical knowledge. People who have a certain body, who are earthly body, they think in practical ways. You know, when they think of things, they experience them in terms of feeling. I should say feeling, because that's practical. And then some people who are more fiery, they think in pictures. Others who are more airy, they think in sound vibration. So according to our nature, we think in different ways. But as far as how the Hare Krishna mantra, it acts on every level. Just like all sound vibration acts on every level. When you hear the word Mickey Mouse, you only think of sound vibration? No, immediately visualize a mouse. Big ears and big tail, big nose. I don't want to describe the whole thing. We naturally, we visualize things. And not only that, but someone may feel something about it. Nostalgia. Oh, I was a little kid and, you know, I was part of the club and I also had my own, you know, Mickey Mouse cap and I had my Mickey Mouse watch. And, you know, then back to childhood again. You know, all kind of things go on the heart. It becomes real soft and mushy. So it affects us in every level just by hearing that. I remember Ridai Dandamaraj gave one class at a university. It was called Sex. That was the name of the class. Needless to say, he attracted many students to the class. Because as soon as they heard that sound, they had a certain idea what the whole lecture was going to be about. The lecture was probably, I don't know, may have disappointed some and enlightened others. But so every word has a certain, you know, it produces emotions and visualizations and so many different things. Every word except the Hare Krishna mantra. Because it's, you know, but if we practice chanting nicely, we're seeing the deities and we're hearing the philosophy and we're practicing Krishna consciousness, then the Hare Krishna mantra will also begin to affect us on all these different levels too. But it takes some practice and experience. It's just that we're entering into a culture and a realm of experience that we're just not used to. Since time immemorial, we have all kinds of mundane experiences on every level, but we don't have so many spiritual experiences. So the Hare Krishna mantra doesn't remind us so much of all our different spiritual experiences, because our spiritual experiences are limited. Therefore, Prabhupada said, pure devotee is an experienced devotee. So we have to be a little patient, and gradually the Hare Krishna mantra will act just like, in a spiritual way, just like all these sound vibrations affect us on the material way. Is that clear? You mean think of Radha Gopinath? Yeah, but that's why we're looking at Radha Gopinath. You can try, but I wouldn't. Yeah, of course. Why not? Not, oh, Radha Gopinath. Oh, right. Hare Krishna. Go away, go away. You're not supposed to be here. Well, that's our goal. As soon as we chant Hare Krishna, we should immediately think of Radha Gopinath. Or, you know, if we thought of Lord Jagannath, oh, what are you doing there? It's supposed to be Radha Gopinath. Why are you butting in? No, we think of Krishna, that's very nice. But not that, you know, artificially, probably, once I asked Prabhupada that once in a letter, and Prabhupada said, not that artificially you're trying to remember, not that we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and it's like in the background. My real thing is, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? Gotta think of Krishna. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Krishna. Where's Krishna? That artificially we're trying to remember. Or actually, I specifically asked Prabhupada about Krishna's pastimes. And Prabhupada said, but if they come spontaneously, that's very nice. But it should come spontaneously. It should be very natural. We chant Hare Krishna. Why shouldn't we remember Krishna? What else are we going to remember? Prabhupada gives the example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one Barba had his wife, his name was Radha. So every time he heard the name of Radha, he thought of his relationship with his wife. So that we don't want to do. We want to think of Krishna when we hear the name of Krishna. So if Krishna comes to mind, that's very nice. Not that we drive it away. Oh, this is artificial. What are you doing here? Get out, get out. But if we try to do it artificially, if we don't see the deities, we don't read the books, and only, you know, when I'm chanting, I try and think about Krishna, then it'd be very difficult. So we want to see the pictures of Krishna. We want to see the deities. That's why all these paintings. We want to think of these things all the time. Why just when we're chanting? We should chant 24 hours a day and think of them 24 hours a day.
You're reading from Prabhupada. He was saying that the devotees would automatically to follow the regulative principles, they had some enlightening engagement.
Yes. Right. What's missing is the missionary spirit within our society to save ourselves and to save others by the process the Prabhupada gave us. You know, what enlivened people in the devotees in the past will also enliven us in the present. But because we've lost faith in the process to a certain extent. Therefore, the emphasis on the same things that Prabhupada emphasized is not being emphasized. Otherwise, you know, Prabhupada, he judged things by how many books were being distributed. He really emphasized that. So if we really have faith in this literature, in these literatures, then we'll not only read them, but we'll also want to distribute them to others. So because the faith is lacking, therefore the engagements are not always, you know,
directed towards preaching. Preaching means not distributing books, not just on the street. It could be in the colleges, it could be here in Radhadesh, it could be anywhere. But the final thing is that we have faith in these literatures. That's what we're presenting. We're acting according to them, we're talking according to them, and we're inviting people to take advantage of them. So if we haven't understood that, if we haven't realized that, whoever we are, whether we're cooking or we're doing the deity worship or whatever we're doing, that's our mission. We're assisting that mission. Then we'll be disconnected. We won't understand what we're doing. Therefore, we won't live our lives according to the books. We won't give them to others. We won't appreciate them enough to take them seriously. If we give them to others, we dedicate our lives to give them to others, then we'll have to think clearly, you know, sufficiently and very thoughtfully, why am I doing this? And when we do that, then we become convinced. Is that right? For a brahmachari, the best way for a brahmachari to stay determined is when Prabhupada said for the, well, one way, not the only way, stay engaged in our service, try to make our service more strict from that side. There are six things that increase devotional service, and there are six things that decrease it, such as Atyahara, Priyasascha, Prajalpa, Niyamagraha. So generally the things for a brahmachari that decrease it is getting too much interested in the monergies in the temple. That's the thing that usually drags the mind away. So one has to be very careful in their dealings between the men and the women. Well, we should be very careful in how we relate to women, especially the monergies in the temple. So what does that mean? That now I should, you know, hate the women? You're the cause of my problems. No, we have to be very respectful to them. The real thing is to see them as Krishna's servants and not as objects of my enjoyment. So if I see them as Krishna's servants, then I'll be very respectful to them, that I'm actually their servants, but I should get very close to them. So that's the main thing that destroys our determination, is desires for material life. And the only thing that's attracted to material life is not the weather in Belgium. We're not hankering, oh, if I was free to go out there and enjoy the weather in Belgium. Or, you know, I really always wanted to work hard as a karma, you know, in a factory. But now, you know, I'm here stuck in a temple, you know, worshipping, you know. No. I mean, mostly it's where, you know, we become distracted by material life. And material life means the whole society is simply dedicated to men and women relationships, or maybe now it's, you know, men and men relationships, or men and whatever else, you know, dog, cat, you know, whatever. But sense gratification, that's what kills our determination. Is that right? Anyone else? Yes.
And the last few days, not just the last few days, but particularly as an example, was some of the mental platforms saying he likes me, he doesn't like me. And then this morning I was chanting and thinking, well, you know, this is this mental platform, you know, like and dislike. And the chanting Hare Krishna, I suppose, not being on the mental platform. So somehow or other it works, the chanting. I could get a little upset, and I said, well, life and dislike is actually very bad to see you that way, especially to see you as a devotee. But I was also realizing that most of the time I'm trying to change, I'm trying to do whatever I'm doing in Krishna consciousness, but the mental platform is...
Because we're supposed to worry whether we like Krishna or don't like Krishna. Mm-hmm. Or asking him, please let me like you, engage in your service. And if we like Krishna, then we'll like everyone. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Pranandaya Ki Jai.